I think you will agree with me that every life is a journey. It has its beginning at the moment of conception. And even when our physical life on earth is over, it does not mean that this life journey is over. For those of us who are in Christ, for those of us who have eternal life, our physical remains may decay in this earthly world, but our souls have found their way home in the presence of a loving and welcoming Father, our Heavenly Father. But for those who are not in Christ, for those who do not have eternal life, it does not mean that they cease to exist even when their physical life is over. It only means that they will live eternally under God's judgment. From the time we begin a life journey to the time we depart this earthly life, we are travelers. We travel from place to place. We stop here and there. Some places we stay longer, and some other places we stay only for a very short time. Some places it seems like that we are on top of the world, trouble-free and worry-free, enjoying plenty and enjoying luxury, feeling proud and feeling superior like we own the whole world. When we were young, when we were strong, we feel young and we feel powerful, like this earthly life never ends. But there are times it seems like we are in the deepest and the darkest of valley, fearful and anxious and uncertain, like we are in the thickest of fog, fearful and anxious, feeling no security. And parallel to this journey of life on earth is our life of faith. Our life of faith is also a journey. And just like our physical life, our life of faith has its beginning, because there was a moment of spiritual birth. The moment we met Christ, the work of regeneration that the Holy Spirit has already done in our life, allow us to make our commitment to follow Christ. The work of regeneration that the Holy Spirit has already accomplished in our lives, allow us to open our lives and allow us to receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior. That is our spiritual rebirth, and that is when our journey of faith begins. 60, 70, 80, 90 years of this journey of life on earth is our journey of faith. And throughout the years, we encounter many unexpected, unwanted circumstances. Throughout the years, we encounter circumstances and people, disappointments that are beyond our control. And if we let these uncontrollable, unwanted, unexpected circumstances and people and disappointment to determine our faith, we will always be traveling this journey of faith in the deepest and darkest of valleys. But if we let God's word and if we let God's promises determine our faith, it will make all the difference. It will make all the difference between whether we are living a life on the mountaintop or whether we live our life in the deepest and darkest of valleys. We have just finished our careful study of 1 John. We have read John's letters to the churches. We have spent much time in being reminded about living a life in fellowship with God the Father and in fellowship with God the Son. We have been reminded of living a life loving God and loving God's children, our brothers and sisters in the faith. We have been reminded of living a life of loving truth and hating lies. We have been reminded of living a life of being children of God, that we are born of God. And now I would like to take you on a new study of journey of faith. How can we travel with confidence? It's going to be a long way ahead of us. And I'm glad this congregation, this service right now is younger. There's going to be a long way ahead. How can we travel with peace, with confidence, and with joy in this long journey of faith that is ahead of us? Who has ever gone ahead of us in this journey of faith? Who has finished this journey of faith ahead of us? who has blazed a trail of faith ahead of us so that we can follow. I can think of no better trailblazer than Abraham. How did he earn the title Father of Faith? We call him Father of Faith. What did he do and how did he live to earn that title? What was his success that we can imagine? What were his failures that we can avoid? And so for the next number of months, I would like to take you on a character study of Abraham and his faith. We will systematically study Genesis chapter 11, beginning today in verse 26, 27, until Genesis 25. And by God's grace, may our faith be strengthened. And by God's grace, may our journey of faith be traveled on the mountaintop and not in the deepest of valleys. You know, the name Abram first appeared in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 11. We did not read it earlier. I'll read it to you. Verse 26. After Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. That was the beginning of Abraham's earthly life. That was the beginning of Abram's earthly journey. We have no clear specific reference that Abraham was born in Ur of the Chaldeans, but we can imply that he was born there. At least it was in Ur that he grew up. And what a place it was for a young, ambitious man like Abraham to grow up in. Ur of the Chaldeans has been located by archaeology in present-day southern Iraq. We have the false impression that 4,000 years ago, it must have been a very primitive society. We have the impression that people who lived 4,000 years ago at that place must be very primitive. But the archaeological excavation done about 90 years ago reveals a highly developed culture and highly developed civilization, even before Abraham's time. It has a very sophisticated economic structure. It was given by a very sophisticated code of law. It had a sophisticated religious life that centered around the worship of a moon goddess. It had a library. It had a university. It was not a primitive society. People there were learned. People there prized learning. People there prized government of law and order. So it was a place for a man who is young and ambitious to stay put and to make a name for himself. And if you're older and you're well established, it was a place for him to stay put and enjoy the luxury and to enjoy the fineries of life. And why would anyone in his right mind leave such a place and leave such a life for the unknown desert of nomadic life? I mean, it's the same question. Right? Those of us who come from the old country, from Hong Kong, a lot of people immigrated to the United States, they couldn't stand it. They go back because it's far more colorful. It was far more luxurious. It's far more enjoyable back in Hong Kong. Why would a man leave life and pleasure of Hong Kong for a life of unknown future, maybe in the desert of the Sahara? So that's exactly what this young and ambitious, relatively younger and very ambitious man named Abraham did. The Genesis account seems to say to us that it was Terah, his father, who took the initiative to leave. Let's read again verse 31. Let's read that again, please. Verse 31. Together, please. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 5 years, and he died in Haran. You see, Genesis 12 seems to say to us that God did not speak to Abram until after he had arrived in Haran and until after Terah had died. But I don't believe that impression is correct. If you get a chance, let's turn with me to Joshua 24, verse 2. Since we have a little time today, let's turn to Joshua 24, verse 2. You will hear Joshua speaking to the Israelites. Did you follow what Joshua is saying? Joshua 24:2. Joshua said to the people, long ago, your forefather, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshiped other gods. But I took your Abraham from the land beyond the river. You see, Joshua 24 tells us that Terah was a worshiper of this moon goddess in Ur. There was no evidence that God appeared and spoke to Terah. It was more likely that Abram decided to leave Ur, and Terah, for whatever reason, did not want to be separated from his son Abram. And since he was Semitic in culture, and he is still the father, and father gets the honor, so in Genesis gives the impression that it was Terah who took the initiative to leave Ur. And the impression that God spoke to Abram after he left Ur is also wrong. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7, if you would. Here is Stephen defending the Christian faith in front of the Sanhedrin. Acts chapter 7. Hear what Stephen had to say, verses 2 and 3. You see, Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Stephen is defending the faith. Stephen said, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. You see, God had already appeared and spoken to Abram when he was still in Ur. God had already commanded Abraham to leave when he was still in Ur. And Abram's journey of faith began when he was living a comfortable, promising life in Ur. It was Abram who took the initiative to leave Ur and not his father Terah. Turn with me to Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It tells us why Moses took such care in writing the accounts of Abraham. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Let's read that together, please. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. Everything written in the past was written for our instruction to teach us. And what do you think is the first instruction God has for us in the life of Abraham's journey of faith? The first instruction for us is this: faith is obedience. Faith is doing what has been told us by God. Faith is not hearing. Abram heard God's word, and if he has stopped there, he has not earned the title father of faith, for he has not acted according to what has been said. Faith is not agreement either. Faith is not agreement with what has been said either. If Abraham had replied to God, God, I hear you. Yes, I agree with you. You're right. I should get up. I should pack up, and I should leave. But if he had done nothing after that agreement, that is still not faith. Faith can never be short of obedience. If you profess faith in Christ, you cannot just say, yes, I heard the gospel. You cannot just say, yes, I agree that Christ is the Messiah, the Savior who died for me. Faith has to go all the way in obedience to what Christ asks of us. The first thing that was written about this man of faith was that he heard God's word to leave Ur when he was a relatively young man in his prime, and he left. That is his first expression of faith. But the problem is, was his faith complete? Was Abram's faith at that point mature? I don't think so. Not yet, at least at that point. Look at verse 31. Chapter 11, verse 31 tells us, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. What were they doing in Haran? Why did they stay in Haran? How long did they stay in Haran? Who decided to stay in Haran? There's no way for us to answer this question for sure. Haran was very similar to Ur. The moon goddess that was worshipped in Haran was the same goddess, the moon goddess worshipped in Ur. Maybe Maybe Terry the father had a terrible bout of nostalgia. Maybe he missed his moon goddess. Maybe it was Terry the father who didn't want to go any further. Maybe Abraham did not want to leave Terry his father all alone in Haran. Maybe Terry the father was too old. Maybe he was too sick, and Abraham had to take care of him. Verse 32 thus tells us that Terry did die in Haran. Whatever reason, Abraham took a detour in his obedience. Whatever reason, he stayed in Haran before leaving for Canaan. He failed to obey God's word perfectly. Now, this will not be the only time Abraham takes a detour from obedience. This will not be the only time he failed to obey God. This is only the first time of many times that he fails in being a man of faith. Now, what does that mean? He failed. Does that mean that he did not deserve to be called father of faith? I don't think so. Does that mean that he did not deserve to be our model, to be our instructor? I don't think so. But what it does mean is this. We should not look for perfection in any man except for in Christ Jesus our Lord. What it does mean is this. The Bible is not a book about human perfection. I'll say it again and again all the time. You will hear me say it all the time. The Bible is not a book about man's perfection, but a book about God's grace, a book about God's mercy. It's a book about God's power, and it's a book about God's wisdom. What it does mean is that God can take a man who is a failure, God can take a man who is so imperfect, and use him for his glory, and use him for instruction to us. And that is what God is doing with this relatively young and ambitious man named Abram. So faith is a matter of acting according to obedience, according to God's word. Faith is also a matter of living in God's promise. Verse 2 in chapter 12 tells us for the first time the specifics of what God has spoken to Abraham. God first gave him instructions. Leave. Get up and leave. Leave your country. Leave your people. Leave your father's household. And go to a land I will show you. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 tells us how Abraham expressed his faith. Verse 4 says, so Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. See, Abraham may have failed in his obedience by staying in Haran, but journey of faith is a life of journey of growing. When he did leave Haran, he left based on what God told him, not based on what he sees with his eyes. God told him, verse 12, verse 1, go to the land I will show you. God has never opened his eyes to see what land that would be, not at this point. Abram never, up to that point, set foot in Canaan. He had never seen what lies ahead. All he had, what God's word that says, I will show you. Obedience is not based on what we see in the future. Obedience is based on what God says. I'm glad that in the bulletin there is a verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certain of what we do not see. If we believe in God's word because we can see into the future, because we already know the outcome, where is their trust? That is what our Heavenly Father looks for in His children. Our trust in Him based on the Father's word. Our obedience to the Father based on His word. And that is what Abram's faith was all about. Imperfect Abram's faith may have been at that point, but he did as he was told. Not because he had seen the land, not because he knew what was going to come, but simply because God said, I will show you. Can we learn that lesson? Present circumstances and people that surround us may not be what we want, may not be what we hope for, may not be what we expect. Our journey of faith, if we are going to travel on mountaintops, it will depend on obedience based not on what we see, but obedience based on God's word. And God said a lot to Abram, not just instruction, but God gave him a lot of promises too, great promises. In verse 2, there are 7 of them, and later on we will see there will be 8 too. God said, I will make you into a great nation. God said, I will bless you. God said, I will make your name great. God said, you will be a great blessing. God said, I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. You notice, all this are in the future. I will, I will, I will, I will. Abraham, in his whole lifetime, never saw these promises completely fulfilled. But hindsight is 20/20, right? We can look back after 4,000 years and we can see all these promises fulfilled. But Abraham can never say that. Abraham can never say that God has kept all these 7 promises to him in his lifetime. God did bless him with great wealth. God did bless him with great honor. He was wealthy in his lifetime. He did enjoy a great reputation, a great name in his lifetime. But when he died in Genesis 25, much of these 7 promises were yet to be fulfilled. Abram never saw how a great nation would come from him. Abram never saw how all people on earth would be blessed because of him. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that God failed in keeping his promises to Abram? Of course not. Now we can see in hindsight how God fulfilled his promises, but not for Abraham. That is a second lesson of faith. Faith is obedience based on God's word. Faith is also walking into the unknown, walking into the unseen based on God's promises, even though the fulfillment are yet to be seen. What has God promised you that you haven't seen? What has God promised you that you haven't experienced? You're waiting so anxiously. God said, I will, I will, I will. You say, God, how about make that into a present tense? I'm sure you have plenty of God's promises to you that you haven't seen fulfilled. If God keep all his promises, no matter how long it takes, why do we kill the joy of our life by questioning God's faithfulness? If God keeps all his promises to us, no matter how long it takes, why do we get our blood pressure so high? Because we are troubled, because we are anxious, because we are fretful. We can travel our life a journey of faith on mountaintops because we choose to remember the outcome is sure. God never fails to keep his promises to us. God may not fulfill his promises for a very long time, maybe not even in our own lifetime, but God has his good, perfect reason to make us wait. The joy of traveling this journey of faith is this. We wait without sweating. We wait without getting antsy. Like we're waiting for a bus, the bus will come, even though you cannot trust on the bus company. But the bus that God will send us will come. The fulfillment will come. You know what I'm waiting for? You don't think I have things I wait for? You don't think I have reason to be anxious? I've been waiting for 3 financial aid letters. 1 for my son and 2 for my twins. The one for Joseph came. The one for Anna and the one for Laura has not. If you're in my shoes, you're not anxious? I'm waiting for a doctor's appointment on Thursday. I need to see a referral because one of my numbers is not good. Who wouldn't be anxious if you were in my shoes? We are all waiting for God's promise fulfilled. We travel with joy. This journey of faith means that we wait with a certainty that no matter what the outcomes may be, it is always for the good of those who love the Lord. no matter what the outcomes may be. It is always for the good of those who are called according to God's purpose. God promises that in the book of Romans chapter 8. And so this young, ambitious man named Abram traveled his journey of faith with obedience, with trust in God's promise, and he traveled from place to place. Look at verse 6. He got to a place at Shechem. There was a great tree of Moreh. It must be an oasis. And it is at Shechem that God finally says, now look all around you. This is the land I will give to your offspring. This is only a preview. This is not reality. Not yet. And if we add this promise, God gave Abram a total of 8 promises up to this point. But it's not reality. Because promise is one thing, possession is totally something else. Because the end of verse 6 tells us that at that time, Canaanites were in the land. You think the Canaanites are going to just hand over the land just because God promised? No. Abram at that time had a family of 3. He and his wife. And Lot wasn't even his own son. What offspring is God talking about? Verse 30 in chapter 11 tells us that Sarai was barren. She had no children. Now to an unbeliever, God promises that his offspring would possess this land was a total mockery. And later we find that Sarai herself laughed at this promise too. Incomplete our faith may be. Unbelievable God's promises may be. Faith means responding to God with thanksgiving and worship. That's what faith also means. Look at verse 7. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Building an altar at Shechem to the Lord means Abram is acknowledging God in thanksgiving and in worship. This is the first of many building of altars to worship God. You read a little bit later in verse 8. Abram got to between Bethel and Ai. He will build an altar there also to worship. The next chapter in chapter 13, verse 18, Abram will get to a place called Hebron. He will build an altar there. Later on in verse 22, Abraham was going to be on Mount Moriah, where he was about to sacrifice Isaac. He will build an altar to worship. We can say just about everywhere Abram travels on the journey of faith, he worships. God give us a new birth in Christ. For what purpose? So that he can meet with us. So that we can worship him. God calls us to travel this journey of faith for the purpose of meeting with us. For the purpose that we can worship him. God take us onto the mountaintop in our journey of faith, just like Jesus did. He took the 3 disciples, James and John and Peter, up to the mountaintop where he transfigured, where he showed his glory to them, for the purpose of allowing them the greatest of blessing, the greatest of privilege, and being in the glorious presence of God, worshiping him. And that's what Abram was doing. When he built altars at these different places, as he traveled the journey of faith, he said, I don't see your promises fulfilled yet, God, but I know you will keep them. I don't see what is ahead, but I know the outcome already, because I know you are trustworthy. I don't enjoy the fullness of your promise of blessings yet, but what I do enjoy now, I give you thanks and I give you praise. Abram is saying there are so many alternative deities all around me for me to worship, but you and you alone are worthy of my worship. He's saying, I don't understand your demand, God. You promised me the most impossible of things. You promised me a son. All right, you gave me a son. And now you want me to cut him up and burn him up? What kind of a demand is that? I don't understand. But since you asked me, with thanksgiving, I will give it back to you. I don't understand you, God. But if that is what you want, that's what I will give you. Faith means obedience based on God's command. Faith means walking into the unseen, walking into the unknown based on God's promise. Faith also means responding to an unfathomable God based on his worthiness. You know, this passage from end of Genesis 11 to Genesis 12, 9 is only the beginning of Abram's journey of faith. He will travel through the deepest and darkest of valleys. He will fail and he will stumble. He will also enjoy the thrill of reaching the stars. But through it all, God uses him to bless us. And not only to bless us, God uses him to instruct us as we travel our journey of faith. Paul writes to the Christians in the churches in Rome, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us for our instruction, so that through endurance," going through the journey of faith takes endurance, "so that through endurance and the encouragement from the scripture, we might have hope." Why did Moses write down with so much care Genesis 11, Genesis 25? For our instruction. Just as Abram has gone on ahead of us, just as he has blazed a trail for us in this journey of faith, so we follow. So we follow this trail of faith. So we follow with obedience based on God's command. So we follow waiting and walking into the unseen based on God's promises. So we follow in worship and with thanksgiving based on God's worthiness. Whatever you're waiting for, no matter how long the journey may be ahead of you, no matter how troubling, no matter how daunting the future may be, no matter how foreboding, how dark the storm clouds may be gathering ahead of you or over you, we travel ahead with confidence, with joy, with peace, with thanksgiving, and with worship. Because our God never fails. Let's all stand together and we stand with an old hymn, "Faith of Our Fathers, Living Still." Let's sing that as our response.